Welcome to Biblical Health Radio. This is your host, Dr. Eric Selinsky, and I'm on a mission to helping you and your family live the abundant life. Shout it out loud, sing with the crowd, celebrate, cause good things are coming, new opportunities are at the door. Hold your head up, drop the sorrow, no regrets now, for tomorrow, it's a new chance. Hey everyone, episode number 9 of Biblical Health Radio. This is your host, Dr. Eric Selinsky, and today I'm going to be featuring a very special interview that I did with Paul Nisan, who is a biblical health expert and just an overall awesome guy. And the thing that I am extremely excited about with this one particularly is we're going to be focusing on gut health. And what I'm doing is I'm going to be offering this interview as just a free special gift for people that are going to purchase the Gut Summit that I'm hosting with Dr. Josh Axe and Donnie Gates. But for you, because you're part of my Biblical Health Radio tribe, you're going to get free instant access to it now. And if you haven't pre-registered or early bird registered for our Gut Summit, you could go to naturalgutcures.com, and that is naturalgutcures.com. Take advantage of that. It starts January 18th through January 25th, and 35 experts around the world, in addition to people like Paul and other special interviews, and I'm going to be including, just talking about how to truly heal from the inside out, because true abundant life, biblical health, really starts in your gut. And so we're going to discuss that. And as always, don't forget to join my Biblical Health Radio portal by going to drericz.com/biblicalhealthradio, so you could get all the transcripts, show notes, and access to all of the interviews in one awesome customer hub deal. So you're going to love it. God bless you. Appreciate you, folks. Hopefully you're enjoying your holiday season, and I'm so excited to be welcoming Paul. And if you don't know about Paul, Paul is a raw food chef and educator. Paul Nisan has been eating and educating people about a raw food diet since he was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis many years ago. And with no other choice but surgery, right, according to the medical profession, Paul decided to stop eating all cooked foods. Today, he's 100% cured of this so-called incurable disease, and he still eats a raw food diet. He has been featured on the Food Network and in several magazines and newspapers around the world, and today he travels the world giving lectures on raw food nutrition and raw food prep classes to show people how truly easy and fun the raw life can be. He's also authored several books, such as Health According to the Scriptures and Healing Inflammatory Bowel Disease, The Cause and Cures of Crohn's Disease and Ulcerative Colitis. For those of you who want to check out Paul, I highly encourage you to check him out at healthwatchman.com, and you can also look at his books and other biblical health resources and products at rawlife.com. Paul, welcome to the show, brother.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Paul, I'm just so blessed to be able to just talk with you about this concept of gut health, biblical health, and how it all really comes together. So really, with no further ado, let's dive right into it. I mean, in your opinion, because you've been doing this for quite a while, how important is good digestion for overall health?
Well, it's one of the keys, because when, you know, we've been designed and created to need certain nutrients for our body that's been provided to us through the food. But if we're not able to get that, well, the machine, the body, doesn't work the way it was designed to work. And the food is another issue, because the quality of the food today, but the real issue with our digestive system, because of being brought up living so far against our creative guidelines and instructions, it's not able to work the way it was designed to work. So even if we do get the good quality food, if our digestion isn't working as well as it should, we're not able to get the nutrients out of the food, and then it creates a deficiency. So it's very important that our digestion is working as best possible. And it's also one of the keys to tell us if what we're doing is working for us. Because once you have a clear sign of poor digestion, and there are many signs of that, then you know something you're doing is not working. And so it's extremely important on all these different areas.
So, you know, I'm almost thinking here, the chicken or the egg kind of thing. I mean, from your experience, because I know you coach people all over the world, I mean, have you found that it's really the gut that triggers it because of maybe, let's say, antibiotics or drugs, or is it really the nutrition that triggers the gut disorder? I mean, is there, you know, the chicken or the egg, which one?
Well, each case is an individual situation, so it depends. I mean, sometimes it's neither. Sometimes it might be something else that's affected our overall health and our digestive system. But each case is different. In my particular case, it was certainly growing up living on such a standard American diet, a sad diet, that it's just amazing my body was able to survive. You know, even though I had a disease, I was still living. And most people, you know, if they eat as bad as I was eating, they don't even make it to that point. Wow. So it depends. It's in an individual situation. But once we start getting away from the guidelines that we were told to live by and shown that's best for us, things aren't going to work the way they should. And I always give a good example of if you go to a florist and you look at plants that were taken out of their natural environment and put into an artificial environment, and they're trying to survive in this flower store. And they might be able to survive, but they would never thrive as much as they would in nature. And so the flower store tries to mimic nature in many ways so the plant can maybe survive. Well, that's what the world is doing with a lot of the food. They're trying to mimic the true food of nature. But unless man is eating the food from nature, and even better, in nature, he's never going to thrive the way he was meant to, and then we get into a survival mode.
You know, that's really such a beautiful analogy. I never thought in those terms. I mean, it's obvious from looking at your biography, the books you've written, all that you've done. You've really dove into this deeply. However, you said something earlier that makes me wonder, like, when did this all start? I mean, if you were on the sad diet, what triggered this transformation?
Well, most people look at their diagnosis of a disease as a tragedy, and I looked at it as one of the blessings of my life because it woke me up to know that things I was doing weren't healthy. And I started developing stomach problems at 19 years old, and they weren't going away. And then I went to the doctor, and I listened to the doctor and did all the things they were telling me. But when I got diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease, also known as ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, which is latest stage disease of the digestive tract. And when the doctors told me that I was on a high risk for colon cancer at 20 years old, by the time I was 30, I would probably have it. And the only answer is to cut out my colon if I don't want to get colon cancer. That made me decide to look elsewhere. And really, if what they were telling me to do up to that point was working, I would have kept listening to them. But I wasn't feeling better. I was feeling worse, and I wasn't getting better. So I started to look elsewhere. And they ended up moving next to a place without even knowing what raw food was. I ended up moving next to the Hippocrates Health Institute. It's a world-class health spa that has people come there with all these so-called incurable diseases that doctors have given up on people, and they switch to a raw food diet, a vegan raw food diet, and they get better. So I figured I'd give it a shot, and I tried it, and I got better. So that was pretty much the start of it. At that point, I was working on Wall Street in New York City, and then I just decided to change everything, and I wrote a book, and then I wrote more books, and became a raw food chef, and here I am today.
Wow. You know, how often do we hear that story? Necessity is really the mother of all invention. I mean, you know, you're a force, but you know, Paul, I keep on going back to this as I interview people. All of y'all are alike, and I'm so blessed by this because, in a sense, all of y'all are alike, and the people that we talk to, we have a choice, folks. We have a choice to take. I mean, what we just heard was Paul was given a death sentence. I mean, his doctor just flat out told him, you're going to have cancer. He prophesied. He spoke that into his life. Yet Paul decided not to accept that, where unfortunately the vast majority of people that I understand and what we could see, they just follow the advice of the doctors blindly, and they let that curse really overcome them. You know, can you share a little bit and maybe even some advice? I mean, what did you do? You were given a death sentence. You were basically told you're going to die. Essentially, and you said you have to do this or this is going to happen. What kind of things can you recommend to people, especially in the biblical health model in Christ, to overcome that?
Well, first I could say is pain is a great motivator. And even though I love the taste of junk food or the standard American diet, which is junk food, but most people don't know it as that, I love the taste of that food, but I hated feeling sick more than I liked the taste of certain foods. So I was motivated not to feel sick. And that's what kept me from eating the foods I liked the way they taste, and to eat foods I actually didn't like, fruits and vegetables at the time. But as I started to learn more and started to realize the reason I didn't like fruits and vegetables were I wasn't eating them raw, ripe, fresh, and organic. I was eating them unripe, they were unorganic, and they just weren't fresh, and no wonder why they didn't taste good. But when I started to learn and get the knowledge, I started to to eat better and better quality food, and the food actually started to taste delicious. And then I got on a great curiosity to travel the world and taste exotic fruits, because there's more to fruits and vegetables than apples and oranges, and it doesn't have to be boring. And so that really motivated me to do that. And then, you know, years later, it wasn't until years later when I first read the Bible, and I read Genesis 1:29 that says the food for man is fruits and vegetables. And I had already been doing that and was healed from that. So I was like, this is working on every level.
Wow, that's beautiful. So Paul, through your experience and through your research, what really is the connection of diet and IBD specifically?
Well, really what it comes down to is, from a food standpoint, is you want your body to work the least to get the most. And most people, what they're doing is making the body work the most to get the least. And what I mean is, let's say we eat an apple or an orange, and if it's ripe and organic, and what's going to happen is, you know, just like a juicer, if you put that apple through a juicer, it's going to have to work very little, and you're going to get a lot of juice out of that with very little waste left over. And on the other side of that is that, let's say you put a piece of bread in that juicer, it's going to have to work very hard, and it's not going to get anything out of it. Or a piece of chicken, it's going to work very hard and not get anything out of it. So essentially, your body is the world's best juicer, and your digestive tract is the world's best juicer. So the foods you eat that are going to give your body the most with the least amount of stuff left over is going to keep it working properly the longest. The foods you did have the opposite effect, that make the body work really hard to get very little, and there's a lot of waste left over, wear and tear is eventually going to break that down much sooner. So basically, there it is. It's seek the foods. And if somebody's in a grocery store and they're looking at a food, just think, you know, if I put this food through a juicer, how is it going to process, very simply or very difficult? And that can give us some sort of idea of how it's going to process in the body. And, yeah, there are examples. People might say, like, what if I throw Jell-O or pudding in a juicer? Well, you know, I hope people have enough knowledge to know that those things are just filled with chemicals and garbage, and that doesn't take place in this example. But we're looking at produce, fruits and vegetables versus bread and chicken. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a vivid depiction. I mean, it's right there. Proof is in the pudding. I mean, yet it brings up a question, though. I mean, it brings up a question that is somewhat confusing if you go out there into the cybersphere. I mean, you get doctorwhatever.com and you start to look at everyone's opinions. The raw food seems to be a controversial issue at this point. I mean, some people say 100%, 75%. I mean, you got everyone going from everything, nothing to everything. You got to cook to activate enzymes, whatever they're trying to say. So let's talk a little bit about raw foods. And do you feel, are they always best for digestion?
They are always best for digestion, but depending how we eat them makes a difference. Like I said earlier, each case is individual. So when I have somebody come with me who has a digestive problem, specifically inflammatory bowel disease, and they're in an inflammatory attack, eating whole raw food might be the worst thing for their condition. Their body is not in a condition to deal with the fiber, and it might actually irritate the inflammation. However, the raw food has the enzymes in them, so it's going to be the best thing for digestion if they eat it already blended up, or even better, in a juice form. So raw foods essentially are the best thing for digestion, especially if somebody already has an issue. However, depending how we consume it can determine if it's going to be beneficial or not. And that's an important thing to remember, because there are, you know, people just think, oh, I'm eating raw foods. Well, raw foods could mean you're just eating raw food, junk food, candy bars all day. It's not the raw food. You know, it's I like to call it a fresh food diet, eating fresh food, fruits and vegetables in their fresh state. And I even have a video on the internet saying I no longer promote a raw food diet, because when you hear that today, yeah, it's usually surrounded about raw food, junk food, raw food recipes, and raw food candy and all this stuff. But that's not what I talk about. I talk about a fresh food diet, a diet of fruits and vegetables, and eating it based on your own chemistry and your situation in the form you eat it will determine if it's going to help you or hurt you.
So what are certain signs and clues that people can tune into with their body to see if their body is responding well? I mean, there's obvious, you know, gut pain and things like that, but what about the subtle stuff? Like, how does someone know if their body is responding?
Well, that's a great question, and I often teach something called the formula for health, which is power minus obstruction equals vitality. And people often think, I say, how do you know if something you're doing is working for you? And when somebody says the two most dangerous words in the English language, I feel, So the body has an amazing power to adapt to what we're doing. So I know people that can eat a pound of ice cream and feel great. I know people that smoke crack and feel great. But that's because the adoption of the human power of the body. But what really is, we can't use I feel as the only key to know if what we're doing is working. We have to look at our digestives. How often are we going to the bathroom or not going to the bathroom? Our sleep. How sweet is our sleep, or how disturbed is it? You know, we have to look at, you know, our just overall general how we do feel, not only from a physical standpoint, but, you know, depression and mental and emotional issues. So all of these things are important part of the to know if what we're doing is working for us. Because I don't care how well somebody is eating, if they're constipated, not getting sleep, not you know, and they're dehydrated and they're just feeling pain all the time, something is not working.
Paul, have you seen I guess a commonality amongst a lot of the folks that you've worked with, and just from your own experience of how long it could take for some things to respond? You know what I mean? Like, would you give someone, hey, try this for a week. If you don't get better, try this. I mean, what's your overall recommendation?
That's the issue right there. You know, it's quite interesting, because if somebody listens to the doctors and take a drug, many times they will feel better almost immediately. But the condition and the cause is not getting better. It's actually getting worse. Because now it has to deal with the toxins from the medication. However, when you do something the natural way, it usually takes a good amount of time longer to start actually feeling better. You might see some benefits immediately, but you'll actually start feeling better. It might take longer, and depending on how long it takes to actually get sick, it might even take a longer time to get better. And one of the biggest problems people have is they're impatient. And rightfully so, because people don't want to live in pain.
Yeah.
So it depends. And I've seen people get better in myself in a matter of a couple of weeks. But I was just working with a guy. It took him 6 months to overcome his inflammatory bowel disease. But, you know, it's really hard to stay patient and on a course. But as I said, you know, pain is a great motivator. And you know, so it's the amount of time is different for everyone, but there are great signs, especially if you have inflammatory bowel disease, to know if things are working or not. And digestion, you know, with inflammatory bowel disease or any inflammatory condition, I mean, you'll know when you start seeing improvement, because you won't be suffering as much as you did.
So ultimately, as we respect everyone's biochemical individuality, there must be a resource. There must be like a list of best foods that people could try and then go from there and do trial and error. So, I mean, out of that, which ones would you recommend that overall have helped a lot of people, or something that you would recommend people to give, you know, to go first?
Well, often people will say, well, what food can get me better? And I tell people there's no magic food. You know, it's the whole approach. It's just not one food. However, when you look at what foods are best for people, it's, I would say, food in season. And usually that's locally grown, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean that, but usually it does. But, for example, a watermelon in season is much better than a watermelon out of season. So the food that's locally grown in season, I'm blessed to live here in South Florida, and I could actually see food growing in the trees to know what fruits are in season and I should be consuming. But if somebody's living up in Alaska and they're trying to eat a mango that grows in Florida, or if it's from another part of the world and it's out of season, that does not no longer become a good food or the best food for their bodies. So seasonal, locally grown fruits and vegetables are the ideal and the first foods we should look at as the mainstay of our diet. And, you know, it's not just one magic food. You have to think of it on, like, what type of food is best, not just which particular food is best. You know, because we hear things like, you know, all these superfoods for cancer or something else. Look, I guarantee somebody, if they eat this food but they keep doing everything else, that's not going to help them. They need to start changing some other things in their life, including their diet.
That's fantastic. You know, Paul, I do a lot of work with essential oils, and I've had people ask me over and over again, hey, Dr. Z, what oils do I do for this? I'm like, listen, I say the same thing. I'm like, look, if you're going to keep on going to McDonald's and keep on eating your sad American diet, it's like two steps back and then maybe one step forward if you apply an oil. I go, don't even waste your money, you know? And also, you said something that I'm so glad you said about the seasonal approach. I feel like I'm the only one talking about this, Paul. Thank you so much, because to me, true biblical health is living within the, that's to me, ultimately, what I would say is living in the design that God put us in. And the design is to eat foods and vegetables, fruits and vegetables when they're in season. I mean, we're not made to have mangoes and bananas every single day. And it's hard because in America, we're filled with temptation. that every day you could seriously get the same food. And so get back growing your own food. You know, I got to ask you about that. Do you garden? Do you even have space at your house to do this stuff?
Oh, it's funny, actually. I have such a passion for garden. I have over 60 fruit trees.
Love it.
I was working in the garden this morning. We're actually putting it back to Eden Garden. And I've always had gardens. A good friend of mine, John Kohler, has a YouTube channel called Growing Your Greens. And he was just visiting us. And it's a very successful channel teaching people how to make their lawns into food. And so I'm very much into that. And it's the only way I actually feel we can get food that actually has enough nutrition, because I don't believe it's possible to go to a store and buy food and actually get all the nutrients you need.
Oh, awesome. We live in Atlanta, so we have a good 9-month growing season. But being in Florida, I mean, you guys can pretty much grow all year, can't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've seen people grow in just about every place. And Hippocrates is big into sprouts, and you can sprout anywhere at any time. So it's there's no excuse for people not to grow something. And
awesome. Hey, Paul, what's your address? We're coming over for dinner. That's sweet, brother. Hey, let's dive into the biblical health piece of it. What's the Bible? What's the biblical health connection to gut health?
Well, basically, if you look at the first 5 books of the scriptures, the Torah, starting in Genesis, that is the foundation of all scripture, and it gives us the instructions of how to take care of our body. And as I said in Genesis 1:29, it says the food for man is fruits and vegetables. That was plan A of our Creator. Now, yes, animals were added later, but that was plan B. It's acceptable, but I'm sticking to plan A. And you know, that's it, really. Basically, if we follow His guidelines and instructions, it says clearly in scriptures, all will be well with you, or you will be blessed abundantly. And it says, if it's a great example is found in Exodus 15:26, where it says, if you do not follow the Egyptians, but you follow my guidelines and instructions, you know, I will not put the same diseases upon you that I put on them. Mm. And it's not about Egyptians, it's about disobedient people. So obedience has a direct connection to our health. And then when children went into the promised land, they were told to separate and divide themselves from every unclean thing and not to mingle the seed and to do that. And they said, if you do, you'll be blessed abundantly. But if you don't, not only will I put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, but I will give you new disease that you never even heard of yet. Well, we fast forward to a time today where we consistently mingle the seed with the non-believer. And with all the science, money, research, and medical technology out there, every single day the doctors are naming a new disease. Oh, yeah. And there's the connection right there.
Yeah, that is, it's scary. It's scary to see what the disobedience of the fathers have done through the generations. And God warned us over and over, Yahweh told us not to. Yet I do believe in the redemption power of the Lord and how people like you and I, we've been able to overcome. Because, I mean, in a sense, you got to think, we were given a very rough start in this life just by being birthed in this time period. However, you know, I feel blessed that we've been called to lead the revolution, so to speak, to getting back to Eden. I love that book, right? Back to Eden.
Sure.
I just love that title. And I love what you're proposing is just getting back to the way that we were designed. So,
Could I say, Eric, that it says in the Bible, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we all have worldly knowledge. What that's talking about is lack of knowledge of His instructions.
Hmm.
So that's what we need to get back to.
Amen. Amen. And not seeing doctors and science as God anymore. And it's becoming rare to meet anyone in the healthcare profession that humble enough to say, you know, we don't know everything at this point. Because everyone walks around like the doctor that told you, if you don't do this, you're going to get that. Well, says who? Are you psychic? Are you God? Who are you? Right? So there's that aspect. And I have to tell you, folks, for you listening, be empowered. You know, be empowered by what Paul is sharing here, because the reality is, like the scripture says, test all things and hold fast to what's true. We can't blindly and just be compliant to everything the doctor says. I mean, just step back for a minute. Just step back, question, give it some prayerful consideration, and see what God has to say about the matter before just jumping into something. Unless, of course, it's like a tumor on your esophagus or on your brainstem where you need immediate attention. That's rare. I mean, by and large, most healthcare conditions that you deal with are been in process for quite a while, and it's going to take quite a while to continue. So always remember you have time. Paul, before I dive in, because we're running out of time, unfortunately, I have one question I definitely want to ask about your daylight diet. But before that, what about grains? We haven't talked about that. And how do grains fit with your raw food diet?
Well, grains are very interesting because there are different types of grains. And of course, things like white rice are much more processed than things like quinoa or millet.
Yeah.
Certain grains can be sprouted. Certain grains are alkalizing. Certain grains are acidic. So in general, I mean, if you really want to maintain a 100% raw food diet and eat grains, you'd have to do them raw and sprouted in a tabbouleh or something like that. I myself stayed away from grains for about 17 years and just recently started to start consuming some again. But you can certainly eat rice, brown rice and quinoa and millet. If your digestion is working well, you can do it and it could be fine. Based on a person's medical history and also on their activity level, grains can be helpful, but for most people, they're more unhelpful because most people are lazy, they're not exercising, they're not burning the carbohydrates, and they're just not digestion well. So grains are something that I would consider somebody adding back into their diet later if they desire to do so. But for the most part, fruits and vegetables are the way to go. Now, some people say, well, grains are mentioned in the Bible. The grains mentioned in the Bible are nowhere close to the grains that we're consuming today. So we have to be careful of that. Another thing with grains is they have weak gluten in them, often, many of them do, and that's another issue because many people have a weak gluten intolerance. So I would say a person needs to just get their body back into shape with fruits and vegetables being the majority of the diet, and then later on they can look at re-consuming grains if they desire to do so.
You know, Paul, one of the key takeaways, I mean, you just said something very, very interesting and key to me, and folks, take this home with you, activity level. I just did what I did because I thought it was good. And even as a health conscious person, I would have my bowl of gluten-free organic oatmeal with some fresh fruit in it in the first thing in the morning. And then I'd race to my desk job and I'd crash. I'd want to have a cup of coffee at like 11 or 10 o'clock in the morning because what was I doing? And to me, it was always my work. It's what I do. I sit down, right? So I found that, Paul, what you shared is unbelievably important to consider because if I know I'm going to be active, I'll load up on the grains or in the carbs early in the morning because I know I'm going to burn them off. But if I'm not, no, I try to stay away from that completely because, again, it just puts me in this hyperglycemic mode and it's just, I don't want to crash. So that's really good insight, Paul. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Last question, Paul, unless you think I missed something here, I got to ask you about your daylight diet and the best time to eat for digestion because this is something I rarely ever hear about.
Well, again, it goes back to the Bible. You know, it doesn't only tell us what foods are best for us, but it also tells us when is the best time to eat it. And that is when we could see it. And eating our foods during the daytime hours is when digestion works the best. And all different type of Western medicine around the world, or I could say Eastern medicine around the world, has confirmed that digestive organs work best at certain times throughout the day. And somebody says, well, where does it say that in the Bible? And I say, if our Creator wanted us to eat at nighttime, He would have made fruits and vegetables glow in the dark because without all this artificial electricity, we wouldn't be thinking about food at nighttime. We'd be relaxing and resting and giving our body a chance to do what it does at nighttime, and that is to cleanse and rebuild.
Yeah.
But when we eat late at night and eat before going to sleep, what happens is now the body has to digest and not cleanse and rebuild, and it creates a problem. And a lot of people say, well, I've been doing this my whole life and eating late, and it's never affected me. And I tell people, you know, when you find out something that's true, just because you've gotten away with it isn't a reason to make an excuse and keep doing it. It's a blessing that we've gotten away with it so long. And one of the most detrimental things people do for their health is eating late at night and eating too much, too often, and too late. And we need to start eating when it's daylight outside, and the seasons go great along with the scriptures because in the wintertime the days are shorter, but the foods we consume locally are usually heavier,
yeah.
So we can eat less often and be sustained longer. Where in the summertime the days are longer, but the food is usually lighter, so we can eat more. We have more time to eat it, and it will digest just as well. So our Creator makes no mistakes in His design if we follow it. And the daylight diet, I have a whole book on that topic. Talks about that, and some people say they can't not eat at nighttime. I said, well, that's because you're starting too late in the daytime. Get up earlier, exercise, and eat earlier, and you won't need the food at nighttime.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So really, to put it practically speaking, it's cold outside, you know, whatever, January, December. It gets dark around 5, 6, depending on where you live. So you would say that would be when your last meal would be?
Well, there's several different stages to what I created and called the daylight diet. And basically, the first stage would be is get out of the habit of eating when it's dark outside. Mm. So, you know, it's of course, that's easier to do in the summertime because it's still light outside at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
But in the wintertime, yeah, once you're used to not eating when it's dark outside, so be it. Don't eat. If the sun goes down at 5 o'clock, stop eating at 5 o'clock. That just gives us an idea, well, we got to eat more during the day, so we'll be satisfied at night. Most people aren't eating at nighttime for nutrition. They're eating for many other reasons, and they're overeating, as a matter of fact. So most people don't eat in general for nutrition. They're eating for a whole bunch of other issues. And basically, yes, getting in the habit of not eating late, going to sleep on an empty stomach is key. And we're taught in this country to have a big meal before we go to sleep. Well, I believe we should do the opposite. Have a bigger meal earlier in the day and have a light meal or almost nothing in the evening. And people's sleep would be better. And that'll take care of two of the biggest causes of disease, overeating and undersleeping.
Wow. Wow. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed this because I did, and I definitely want to get a chance to talk to Paul, do a part two or part three. To learn more and to keep in touch with him, visit healthwatchman.com and really take advantage of the books that he writes. They're brilliant. Biblical health truths that are just timeless. You could go to rawlife.com to check out his store. Paul, thanks again. One thing I always like to end my shows with is just giving people an opportunity to give a word of hope, because there's a lot of folks out there I've come to see that are hopeless, they're helpless, and they don't know where to start. And so they stumble upon interviews like this, and they're looking for little keys, tidbits. Do you have a message of hope for folks?
Absolutely. In the Bible it says, you know the plans I have for you, they are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. You know, so those of you that are believers in our wonderful King Yeshua, our Messiah, the one many people call Jesus, hold on to that scripture, you know, a future and a hope. And if you're not a believer, understand it says in Ezekiel, it says, Ezekiel 33:11 says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. You know, I only want you to live. So understand that, folks. Wickedness is living against our Creator's guidelines and instructions. So when we get in relationship with our Creator and we start desiring His guidelines and instructions, that's what He wants. So we have to do that. That's first and that's key. So if we all do that, we can have a great future and a hope. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, Paul, thank you so much. I love and appreciate you in the Lord, my friend. What a fantastic interview, amen. Folks, you got to follow Paul. Check him out, healthwatchman.com, and look at his books and his other health, biblical health products at rawlife.com. He's just a great resource of just biblical health information. I really trust and value his role in the body of Christ. And with that, please, please, please subscribe and leave a comment or two and just share this message with people. This has truly been on my heart ever since I've been under Christian to help people live the abundant life, and it's from focusing on spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, financial, occupational, and especially social aspects of our lives. So we really focus a lot on health because I'm a doctor and that's what I do. Yet you know what though? We're going to be getting financial experts. We're going to be getting mental experts and emotional experts and all kinds of people to help us maximize our life so we truly live the abundant life. And for those of you who love these podcasts but don't want to take notes or you're listening to in the car, hey, go to drz.com/biblical health radio. Join my biblical health portal so then you can get all kinds of great show notes and transcripts and everything. Well, folks, as always, this is Dr. Z. My hope and prayer is that you and your family live the abundant life, and I'll talk to you soon. God bless. Bye-bye. Celebrate, cause good things are coming. New opportunities are at the door. Hold your head up.